From the 209, throwing a wing was total clown behavior. Sacramento fans have been praised since last season in the media, and this took us a level down. Yeah, I mean, it clearly was a bad look on the list of...
Thankfully, Kevin Harlan made it funny.
Yes, on the list of stupid things that fans have done at games.
We had a fan literally throw up on the floor, and we had to stop the game. So, this is chicken
wing.
You
sure it wasn't last night?
Yes, no, I'm
very... Or the other four times?
No, there's a very infamous Puke Walton game where it was Luke Walton's last game as a Sacramento Kings head coach. And, unknowingly. And it ended in a very fitting fashion of a fan throwing up on the floor. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, we had to stop for like 10 minutes to clean it up. It was not great. It was not great.
Well, I'm assuming at that point, not a nationally televised.
No way. No, Chris. I'm just assuming let's humble ourselves. That was not.
I don't think it was.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I feel like it was really embarrassing. So maybe it was. Maybe I'm just holding on to the secondhand embarrassment for that gentleman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Those courtside seats,
they're
a little dangerous.
Maybe, you know, too many of those free bites and beverages.
Yeah.
Too many bites and bevies. 916-339-1140. We will get to Mike Brown and post-game sound, how he started off the press conference last night. But first, let's get to TC. TC, what you got for us?
Hey, man, first and foremost, happy Friday, man. Hey, Chris, Alan, Simone in the back, what's up?
What is
Thank
up?
You, man. Happy Friday.
Man, just chilling, though, man. So listen, first and foremost, before we get started, hey, Alan, it is going to get super hot, bro. I'm going to tell you right
tell
now, you
tell
don't
him.
Undermine it. Bro, the sack heat, bro, that sack heat is tricky, bro. Born and raised out here, bro. It's going to get bacon when you start seeing that 100 and 101. It's different. It's like the down south heat, but just not with the humidity, bro. Mm-hmm. I got family that be coming out here from down south that be like, bro, it get hot out here, dog. Like, it get hot when we come, but... It's hot out here, bro. Like, so it's going to get hot.
Yeah.
We frying eggs.
I'm trying to tell him.
On the cement.
1,000% you can take a frying pan out there and fry up some eggs.
Period. Okay. And get to the right spot, bro. You're going to fry one. Hey, look, so as far as the Kings, hey, listen, let's get it how we going to get it, y'all. Like, if we got to get in the plan, bro, that's how we're going to get it, bro. So we got to shake out this season, how it's going to shake out. And in the off season, we didn't know what type of moves we got to make money. Vivek, like Mike, they gonna make some moves this offseason. Right now, bro, we gotta be in the moment. I know it sounds crazy, but we gotta be in the moment because we could be 12 or 13 seed, not even wishing that we would be even able to play for a play-in. We could be on these airwaves talking about, hey man, this kid could have just gotten a play-in. We'd be super happy. Mm-hmm. Like I know it's doom and gloom, bro, but at the same time, this is a position we put ourselves in, so we gotta listen. We gotta get it how we gotta get it, bro. So as far as Kings fans, buckle up, bro, and get ready for the plan, bro, because it could be worse than it is now.
Thanks for the call, as always, TC. Yeah, and that's kind of a big picture thought process. If you and that is what has been so tough about this season. After the 16 years, you're a 3 seed. You understand that right after being a 3 seed, nobody on these airwaves are going to talk about injury luck or anything like that. The bottom line is that the Kings were a 3 seed last season, and they are not this season. Teams got better. Teams got more healthy, whatever you want to call it. It's dicey this season. It's one of the most competitive Western conferences as far as records. Yeah. I believe we were looking up since 2015, and we'll read off what those records were. They were insane. So, yeah, if you look at it big picture, at least you're playing competitive basketball.
Yeah.
And we've talked time and time and time and time again on the show about the trajectory of teams not being linear.
Right.
You had the Nuggets who got to the Western Conference Finals and then came back and then did this and then did that, then finally won it. You had the Warriors who got far, then they came back and then they won it. The Celtics still haven't won it. And they've been primed and ready to go for a while now. So that's a great call by TC, especially on a day like today. You know you're going to get some competitive basketball. And with how things turned out, with Malik Monk going down, with Kevin Herter going down, could have been worse, could have slipped out, and you didn't. And at least we know all we're asking for is a chance.
Yes.
And the Kings have a chance. And we'll get to De'Aaron Fox after we hear from Coach Mike Brown. Because he said, you know, he was asked a question, is it doom and gloom or whatever? And De'Aaron says, I mean, we still have a chance. We can get out of the play-in. It's not
Yeah.
It's Gladiator now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We in the ring, and we got to figure these things out. Let's hear from Coach Mike Brown and his thoughts on officially being in the play-in.
100% for sure, guys. I want to freaking win every game. And trust me, I go home and I bang my head against the wall just like everybody else in that locker room on these losses. But, man, you know, I don't know. It seems like forever, but maybe the last 10 games or so, maybe a little longer, every single time we stepped on the floor, there's been an expectation, a pressure of trying to get a win, and one win or one loss. One win can move you up three spots. One loss can drop you down three spots. And so to be able to go through this, especially right now in our second year with the team we have, while Keon's getting experience, while Davion's getting experience, and even throwing Colby in there a little bit too. And the reality of it is Fox hasn't been through this. This is Fox's eighth year in the league, but he hasn't been through this at all. And you know, Domus probably hasn't been through it. You know, he's played in the playoffs, I think, twice before coming here. So for all of us to be able to go through this is an invaluable learning experience. I hope we come out on top. But for us to have to fight for that play-in spot and realize how good it will be to play at home, okay, in that first game, knowing that you got two shots at it, I'm excited about it. I've embraced it. If we could have finished in sixth, I wanted that more than anything else, or fifth. But at the end of the day, this is where we are, and let's freaking go get it.
Let's go.
That's interesting, because like I do wonder, like in a weird way, to look at the big picture. Obviously, this is not how what fans want to go through, but it is kind of an interesting side thought process to kind of say, like, in the long run, going through this, like, if it means they understand, hey, even if it's as simple as, I definitely don't want to do that again, so we can't afford to trick off games in the middle of the season. Right. I do think there is a definite learning experience from this. And also, I mean, the fact that these games are true do or die opportunities, it's almost like you're getting mini game seven experience within this. And they got a game seven last year, which is honestly something a lot of teams, that's invaluable. Like OKC, Minnesota, those guys have no idea what a game seven even smells like. Mm-hmm. And at least the Kings have some idea of what that is. And then if you're going to put these single game eliminations, Mike Brown's not wrong. I mean, he's definitely spinning it a bit, but to turn it into a positive and say, you know, at the very least, this is a young team who he's been adamant the second half of the season and letting us all know this is a process and we're incredibly early in the process. This is, I mean, it's about as good of a learning experience as you're going to get. I mean, they are going through it right now. And sometimes you have to go through it to understand, I don't ever want to go through it again. It's the same thing as, you know, we were talking about school the other day. It's like you finish college, the last thing you want to do is take your master. Like, unless and you just when you're going through it, you're done with it. And right. You don't want to be back there. And I think that's the number one thing I hope they pick up is we have to take care of the regular season moving forward, because this situation here is not where anyone wants to be.
Exactly. And it is what it is. I mean, if we're going to sit here and say that the Kings probably weren't going to win the whole thing, then at least you can come out of it with something. And, you know, that's the argument of, oh, man, I just want the feel of getting to the second round. Okay. So you don't expect to win it all, but you just – it's the idea, again, that linear – thought process that we all have. Mm-hmm. I just want to get to the second round because next year they'll get to the conference finals. Right. And then next year they'll get to the final. Right. That's not how it works.
Right.
That's just not. Remember that old commercial with the old ladies? That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. That's exactly what. Now, I'm not just talking to everybody else. That's the same. We all think like that.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's just. And if you don't think you're going to win the whole thing, at least you can leave with something. I'm leaving here with something. Now, with that being said, that doesn't make not getting out of the play-in feel any better. And if you're Monty McNair, and if you are that front office, or Mike Brown, or Vivek, the question now becomes, with all that being said and understanding why this can be good for the team moving forward, if you don't get out of the play-in, can you call this season a success?
No.
I don't think you can.
If you don't make it out of the play, no. If you're in the lottery, no. Yeah. You can't consider that a success. Absolutely not. There's no There is no, you know, you could still, you know, like we said, you could still take positives, like, you know, Keegan improving on the defensive end and finding Keon Ellis. Like, those are great. Mm-hmm. But if you don't make the playoffs, that is a major, major organizational step back for everybody. That's a step back for everyone's development. It's a step back for this Kings organization in terms of draft picks and draft assets and what they could potentially do this offseason. It kind of, as forward as last year pushed your timeline, you're almost just shoving it all back to the beginning if you don't, if you don't make it out of this play-in situation. Really, I mean, we haven't talked about it much, but you lose draft picks because you then keep your pick this year and don't convey to Atlanta moving forward. And so it's just, it becomes a mess. It becomes an absolute mess for the franchise. So you really, really have to make it out of this play-in. And that's why at this point, your focus has to be on the 7-8. Of course, playing the home play-in game would be great, but at the end of the day, you want two bites at the apple however you can get it. And if it's the 8 seed, it's the 8 seed. It's not impossible to go win in Club Phoenix, but you know, it's not obviously where you would like to play that game, but at the same time, you can easily win that game and then you're locked into the 7 seed and you're feeling great. So this thing starts to change if we talk about the Kings having to win two games just to make the 8 seed.
Right.
That's just, I just feel like the odds are stacked against you.
Right, and at least with the 8 seed, if you do lose that first game, the second game's at home.
Yes, that's a great point.
It's against a hot team.
Yeah.
But or a team that will convince themselves that they're hot.
And that fan base is probably going to populate Golden 1 Center either way.
Yeah,
LA,
you're talking about Lakers
or
Warriors. Yeah. And hopefully it doesn't get there. If you can get that. Either way, it's going to be tough because playing teams back-to-back, it's never easy unless you're the Mavericks beating the Kings. And we know Malik went down. But if they beat the Suns tonight, then I'm going to be worried, and I'm sure I'm not alone, even if they get the 7, now they got to face the Suns again, who they just played. Now the question becomes ownage versus can you make adjustments, right? I think it would be different because we've seen the Kings win and lose to the Suns. There hasn't been ownage either way. So it's going to be there's going to be reason to be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be reason to be pessimistic.
For sure.
Throughout these next, 4 days?
4 days.
And we will see.
3 days.
3 days.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right. And we will see how it all turns out. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Will. Wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Will? What you got for us?
What's up, Styles, man? You know, you guys. You know, home court don't matter to us, man. We let people come in here and kick our butts. And look what – I mean, you just said home. We get home court, but it doesn't matter, man. Yeah. Look, you know, we've been with you guys all year, man. You know, pep talks don't – you know, that pep talk, you know, you was right. Look, we lost to Dallas 5 times. I mean, we lost to New Orleans 5 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
We lost to Houston 4 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 9 games. Okay, we let Charlotte come in here and beat us. We let Detroit come in here and beat us. It's our own fault. We don't make adjustments. Look, you know good and well, if you was a coach of a little league team, Styles, you ain't going to let the same team beat you 5 times. Mm-hmm. You're going to do certain things. I don't care if you send a designated guy off the bench to go out there and slug somebody. I mean, you got to change the mentality of the game. I mean, you let Houston, little punk team, and the Warriors and Dallas them put them in their place, but we couldn't put them in their place.
Mm-hmm.
See, we don't have the mental capacity, and we don't have the athleticism. Look what Dallas did when they got PJ Washington and Daniel Clifford.
Mm-hmm.
We competed with them before they got those two guys, but they spanked us after that. They got the. We didn't make any changes. We didn't upgrade nowhere. So we have our own selves to blame for what the way we're looking right now. I mean, it's just sad, man. Because I'm thinking Coach Brown. You know, everybody thinking he's a genius. He's a good guy. I like him as a coach,
mm-hmm.
but. No adjustments against Dallas? No adjustments against New Orleans?
Yeah.
No adjustments against the Rockets? I mean, we have lost about 12 games that we should have at least won 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah. Thanks for
we
the call.
Won those games.
Thanks for the call, Will. We're up against it. That does bring up a good point, Chris, that you said there was something that they went away from as far as Zion, and you were a little ticked off that they went away from it, and we'll try to figure out why they went away from it and what it is that they did. Chris Watkins will break that all down when we return. Styles and Watkins on a Friday. Sacktown Sports.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Adjustments. We've asked for adjustments, and we did see one last night, but at some point they went away from it, and we're not really sure why. I don't think anybody really broke it down. There's so many questions to ask. And here's the thing, Chris, this is what is unique about our current situation. Most of the time when a game happens and we're getting ready for our show the next day, We're looking at the game, but as far as how it can affect the future.
Right.
Right? And, okay, if they do this or that, or next time they see the Pelicans, which is possible, or a team like that, how can we break that down? When you get this far in the season, they're basically one-offs.
Yes.
There's not a huge reason for us to break down the nooks and crannies of that game because they are who they are, and it is what it is. But with that being said, if you could face the Pelicans again, there is something that you saw and you were surprised and a little bit confused that the Kings went away from it.
Yeah, so in the first half, I mean, it was definitely the CJ McCollum show. He was 4 of 6 from 3. He had 14 points. Trey Murphy was ridiculous. He was 5 of 9 from 3. He had 20 points just in the first half. And the thing that I wrote down in my first half notes is I felt like, personally, the Kings were doing a fantastic job of just bottling up Zion. Like, we talked about it yesterday on the show. The big problem that the Kings had was, you know, they couldn't stop Zion at all. And then I think they slowed him down the last time they played. But Brandon Ingram ended up scoring 30, which you could argue was kind of what happened yesterday as well. But they did a great job of slowing down Zion. And from the opening tip, they had Domantas Sabonis guard Zion. And I thought Sabonis did great. Zion had a lot of tough shots. I think he hit maybe two of them in that first quarter. But they were really tough looks where he just kind of threw it up at the rim. And, you know, he has good touch. And so he hit a couple of them. But he was only 4 of 8 from the field in that first half. In the third quarter, they started with with HB on Zion, and that was right before HB had kind of started to go off. In that third quarter, they started with HB on him, then put Trey Lyles on him. And, you know, we had seen them do put Trey on him before last time they played. It didn't really work out because Zion is size-wise like the same size as Trey, but strength-wise, he still has him beat. And then in the fourth quarter, they just went straight HB. And that's the second half is absolutely where Zion cooked. In the third quarter, he was 6 of 8. In the fourth quarter, he was 3 of 5. Really had no resistance at all. Second half in general, 9 of 13 after being held to 4 of 8 in that first quarter. I just don't understand why they went away from putting the centers on Zion. It was very clear that Zion couldn't run through or get over Alex Len. He couldn't run through Domantas Sabonis, and Sabonis with his verticalities was at the very least making Zion work for it and was making him take tough angles. And then in the second half, when they put smaller guys on him, I thought it was just going to be for the third quarter, as Mike Brown's always talking about, giving guys steady diets and not showing somebody something the whole game and allowing them to figure it out. I thought they were going to go back to it in the fourth quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, HB doesn't score a single point and guards Zion the whole quarter, and Zion cooked. So I just didn't understand that from Mike Brown. We talk about Mike Brown doesn't make adjustments. Well, there was an adjustment he made. I just fundamentally disagree with it. So, you know, I know Willie's always calling and saying, Mike Brown doesn't do anything. No, I mean, like, he changed up the matchup on Zion, and it was wrong. So, you know, I would just say, if you're going to criticize him, like, at least criticize him for doing what he did. And if there's something there, which there was, I would say that's what I would point at, is I have no idea why in the second half they just let Zion cook. And that's what killed them every single time they've played them.
Well, maybe in their mind, we just had this conversation about the national championship, whether it was Cardoso in the women's final or Zach Edey in the men's. Maybe they thought, okay, Zion do his thing and turn the faucet off on the other guys. They just didn't either. They didn't either.
That was the problem. Like, it's then Jose Alvarado started hitting shots.
Exactly.
And then, you know, CJ started hitting a cup. It wasn't at the same volume that he was in the first half, but it's just, it compiles on. And when Zion, and then it's just like, again, you get into the game of plugging all these holes. And as you plug one, another one opens. And it just becomes a, I say it all the time, but a faucet that you can't turn off. And that's what it felt like in that second quarter yesterday, or in that second half yesterday. The Kings played great in the second half. I think they really turned it around overall on the offensive end. They shot 58% from the field in the second half, the Kings did. They shot 47% from three in the second half. So they shot almost 60-50 splits in the second half. They just couldn't get a stop.
Yeah, I just, Chris, I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
For what it's worth, New Orleans actually shot 60-50 in the half. In the second half. They shot 61% from the field, 52% from three, and they made 87% of their free throws, where the Kings made 66.
And again, there's just something when you're down, and I know it does take a certain mindset to make shots when you're down, but yeah, I'm seeing Keegan and their little run that they made in the fourth quarter, and it's just ticking me off because, hey, man, you guys need to have this mindset from Jump Street. You know what I mean? You get down and you give this, I don't want to say, it wasn't half-hearted, but it's too little too late. Yes, Lazazazical, and it's too little too late.
Lazazazical.
And now all of a sudden, it's free-flowing and it looks like, you know, you got your shot back. You needed that earlier in the game. It's too late now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely too late. And, you know, I think there's not really much you can do about that. I mean, you know, that's kind of where the players need to come out with the right energy. You know, I don't know if we can find out a way to put that on Mike Brown, but like maybe you could say their game plan wasn't up to snuff. Again, I would say that the decision to guard Zion was a good one. It's just, I think Trey Murphy and CJ came out incredibly blistering, especially Trey Murphy, who hit, five first half threes, had 20 in the first half.
20.
And then had the second half, only had 7. So, you know, I definitely think that was the problem, is just a lot of threes. And, you know, they just kind of, they went down. Like, I really don't know how else to put it. I would say they definitely had a lot of open threes, but at the same time with New Orleans, when they have Valanciunas and have Zion, you can't just give up at protecting the rim. That's got to be your priority. And if they make their shots, then, man, I guess you're screwed. And that's pretty much what happened yesterday in my mind. I think it's unfortunate that yesterday had to be such a big game because I do think, at least on the offensive end, the Kings played well enough. And I think their strategy was okay. It's just New Orleans, to their credit, tip your cap, they hit a ton of shots.
Should we hear from Mike Brown on the first quarter woes?
Let's do it.
Is it going?
The game as physical as we could have. And you could feel it. They were really comfortable. Even when we tried to double team, I thought our double teams were slow and not aggressive. Valanciunas was able to still make a direct pass. And when you double, you got to go aggressive. You got to go body to body. And you got to hope that that guy has to bait dribble. Or at least he's making a pass on his heels, and it's a hang time pass, and it didn't happen at the beginning, and so obviously we said screw it, we're gonna switch it up, and if Valanciunas beats us on the block, then he's gonna beat us on the block, and our guys fought, got back in it, and then like I said, the second time where the separation happened,
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's interesting and that's kind of what I was saying earlier is you've got to pick something that you live with. And I think in the second half, a bit of it was living with Dyson Daniels hitting threes. And in the first half, it was definitely like Mike put there. It was Jonas Valanciunas going to work. I was super confused. I think I asked you. I know I asked Brendan. I said, are they really like three times in a row, they just ran isolation post-ups for Jonas Valanciunas. And I didn't quite understand it, but I guess they really did like the matchup with HB on him. Makes ton of sense. And, shout out Jonas. He hit, three of three from the mid-range yesterday. That's, again, just something that you're willing to live with and tip your cap to him. He was 3 of 3.
Yeah, so were they, which brings up an uncomfortable conversation, but one that has to be had. When other people talk about it, we don't like it, okay? But it's time to have a conversation about Domantas Sabonis as a scorer on this team. Stiles and Watkins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Sacktown Sports. Might seem a bit crazy to have a conversation about Domantas Sabonis after he puts up. He's back on the double-double train. Only 4 assists, 10 rebounds, 18 points. Did not feel like he had 18 points. And if you look at his numbers, Chris and I were talking about it. If it felt like Domas didn't play as much as he normally does, he didn't, right? He played a little less than he normally does. Felt like maybe that was, during that Alex Len period where Alex Len's been playing extremely well, and offensively Domas was having some trouble with Valanciunas, and that's a guy that he's had trouble with before. Somebody with a wide base that doesn't get caught on the pump fakes. And Chris, I'm gonna be honest with you, it feels like we're having this conversation more and more as we get closer to the playoffs of guys not going for the pump fakes and not particularly impressed with Sabonis's offensive bag and offensive skill set. And our own Carmichael Dave quote tweeted somebody last night that said, Kings fans are going to be mad at me, but, and I'll just paraphrase here, I'm not sure how far the Kings can ultimately go as Domantas Sabonis as their second scoring option. And Dave basically agreed. And now I want to throw it to you and the listeners, 916-339-1140, And look, man, I sat here and you did as well, and we talked about, hey, get off Domas's back as far as developing a mid-range shot, and I'm not going to be prisoner of the moment here. But all in all, is it tough to have a second option that for whatever reason you know is never going to be a threat to drop? Not even 40, 30, right? It's just not really going to happen. And as you get closer to the playoffs, it's just more of a burden on De'Aaron Fox. You're hoping Keegan Murray takes that step. You know you don't know what you're going to get from Harrison Barnes. So if you look around the league at other duos and where they rank, I don't know if there are any other elite duos where only one half of the duo is capable of a game-breaking game. Now, Domas will break the game in other ways, but from specifically a scoring standpoint, going into this summer, do the Kings need to recalibrate some things based on what's even possible?
I don't know if the plan was even really to have Sabonis be their second scorer. I think the hope was that Keegan was going to take a leap and, you know, maybe at points per game at the end of the season-wise, it still looked like Sabonis would be there. But I think, like, spiritually, it was meant to be, like, Keegan is
more
kind
20-pointers.
More 20-pointers. Yeah. More just like, yeah, takeover games. More, hey, Kings didn't play well today, but at least Keegan, you know, had himself 20-plus point, 25, maybe 30. I think that's kind of been the big disappointment, and I'm not saying it's not going to happen next year. It's just they might have planned for it a year too early. I definitely don't think that if this team is going to be in the conference finals or anything like that, you know, the way that they play offense right now or the way they utilize Sabonis on the offensive side, it doesn't really lend itself to being the second scoring option, because how is he supposed to be the second scoring option but also the first option in terms of setting everybody else up with his screens and with his handoffs and being at the top of the key? We talk about how much better he plays with Malik Monk in the pick and roll. Well, that's because that's kind of meant to help big score, and Sabonis isn't really playing with that right now. So I think going into next year, the goal is hopefully to find that second scorer. Maybe in an ideal world, Sabonis is more around 16 points per game, and you know, your second scorer is probably near 20. Who knows? Maybe you even have Malik Monk right behind Sabonis or even ahead of Sabonis. Maybe Sabonis even moves down to the fourth scorer. I definitely don't think that's not, you know, Brendan, I think, said it the other day on the round table. I think Sabonis's best skill is making other people better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he's got to be a scorer, then, you know, he's going to do it because that's what his team requires. But I think at the end of the day, if you're trying to maximize every individual on your team, I don't know if Sabonis should be your second scorer. I don't know if that's really what his game dictates. And I mean, we've seen it enough times to where I don't know if that's what he wants, because we've seen many games where Sabonis takes like 8 shots. He'll take, even in a, you know, a big game, he'll take 12, 14 shots.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and that's, I think that's fine. I don't, you know, when we say Sabonis needs to be more aggressive, I don't necessarily know if I want to see him posting up more and trying to hit those post moves. Cause you're right. Like, people seem, we're 80 games into the season. I think everybody's kind of got him figured out, at least in terms of this version of Sabonis. I think they know stay down and keep your hands up, and you're probably going to do fine.
And that's why we talk about, you know, people will call him a generic store, Jokic and things like that, because they do have the same mindset. Jokic isn't trying to score either. The difference is Jokic, from a scoring standpoint, has a deeper back, is bigger, has a deeper back. So he can go to that more than Sabonis can. So I think that's a huge piece of this. And, you know, Chris, you just don't know what's going to happen. I was talking with some other media members yesterday. They'll remain nameless. But when it comes to Malik Monk next season and trying to hold on to him, he is so important. That two-man game, you lose Malik Monk. And the reason I can't get caught up on the idea of, well, if they have Malik out there, then that helps him score, is because they might not have Malik out there next season.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that Malik Monk is going to be on the team next season. Yeah. We all hope he will, but we don't know. We have absolutely no clue. From a scoring standpoint, I think Malik, if you do sign him, and I'm assuming that he is a starter, then in that case, I feel like you have to bulk up the bench. But in that case, you got De'Aaron first option, Malik second option, and then some form
of Keegan or Sabonis, third, fourth option, you have to find somebody to supplement some of what Malik did on the bench. So that is the only – that maybe that helps next season. But as far as this season, I hate to say it, but as a second scoring option, which probably isn't how he will be best utilized throughout his career anyway, we're seeing the limitations.
In context of this conversation, do you think that the Kings should – I don't want to say give up, but maybe switch up their offense from the dribble handoff so much?
Moving forward.
Yes, moving forward.
After this season.
After this season.
I think you have to look at different things.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if it's adding more wrinkles.
I don't know if they have to get rid of it in total, but maybe not have it be such a
every single time
staple.
Look,
yeah.
And Mike Brown came over from the Warriors. The Warriors, and we joke about, years later, they just switched out whoever was in the dunker spot. They still got GP2 in the dunker spot, and it's still working. Yep. They are still running that same offense that Warrior fans have complained about, but it's because they have two of the best shooters of all time.
Right.
So you can run the same. And that offense almost hit a ceiling. That's why they needed to cry in the car and get Kevin Durant. So it happens. It happens.
Yeah, I think the problem is it just gets a little bit too – it feels like predictable and like stagnant where it just – it feels like the defense will – I mean, I don't know if it's even the defense that does it first or if it's like the Kings themselves. It feels like the Kings get into this mode of – and I think it's natural for anyone who ever played, even like youth basketball. I think it happens even more in youth basketball. But like when your coach has you run an offense, you end up walking through the motions, right? Like you just kind of say, okay, like I just know I need to do this. And then he goes here. Okay. And then when he does that, I need to make sure that I go on the other side. And you're not really ever thinking aggressively. You're not thinking, okay, let me cut with purpose. Let me just cut.
Yeah,
because it's what I'm supposed to do, and it helps the system flow. And I think that too many times you feel the Kings, I guess you could say maybe even getting bored with the offense.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right term, but it feels like when you're just walking through it, you're clearly not as engaged as you should be.
De La Salle High School, Concord, California, they ran, I don't know if they still run it, but the Princeton.
Oh,
you're saying
for basketball?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
No, you don't hear much about De La Salle's basketball.
No, they won state my sophomore year.
Really?
I was in the stands, but I could have been out there. I just didn't want to be seventh man. Princeton offense.
Yeah.
And they would run the same thing over and over again. I played freshman year. I said, I don't really feel like running this. I'm a pull. And that's why they sat me on the bench. But it got to a point where they would win, they would beat these teams, and then you would get up against more athletic teams.
Sure.
And they're
Matter
sitting there
day.
Like like the Stephen A. Smith meme, just saying, you guys can run your little Princeton offense, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We know what you're gonna do.
Right.
And we're just waiting
wait
for our opportunity to show how we've done our homework and how much more athletic we are. And that's what it comes down to when you get deeper, when you get out of the regular season. And this has been something that we've tried to defend, and it's getting harder to defend. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Steve, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Steve? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got?
Hey, I'm not familiar with the high school that you're talking about, but I totally agree with your, with your thought process. but I got a quick question before I get to my point. And I noticed our bench. So the last game that we had, the bench got us out of that 20-point deficit. And so I was telling my wife, I said, you know what? I hope when they come back into the second quarter, they bring back the bench and don't bring back the starters. And what did he do? Bring back the starters, and we end up losing the game again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, as a coach, when things are working, does that register? Hey, this is working. If the starters ain't working, why do you bring them back so we end up losing the game? Then they got to play that 9-11 point behind game, try and catch back up again. And then when you bring the starters, they lost their flow. I mean, when you bring the bench back out, they lost their flow. So that's my question. And then the second point is, I know you're saying, hey, Domas could just possibly, he doesn't want to shoot, he doesn't want to that. But you know what? It's not about what you don't want to do. It's about what's going to help the team. And if he was to practice off-season, like I mentioned earlier, on the mid-range, man, that's going to make him so lethal. And then he doesn't have to be a second person for shooting, you know, first, second. He could be a third, but still, if he's got that mid-range, and you got to bring Malik back. And he needs to be a starter. And then Keegan can just step up, just add more pieces, because you're going to need at least 8 people to go deeper into the playoffs. preferably 10. Yep. And I'll take it off of here.
Thanks for the call, Steve. We're up against it. We will break down Steve's call. There's also a text that is saying very similar things to Steve, so we will break that all down. When we return, Styles and Watkins, Sacked.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On sports. This was a text that aligns with what Steven had to say, or Steve, caller from before the break from the 916. Domus had zero, in all caps, attempts with his right hand last night. I thought the right hand was unlocked,
I was thinking
all caps, with Doug over the summer. Unlocked. That's from Nick.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely interesting. I was thinking about it. I definitely was not counting him, but that was supposed to be the thing that was different about Sabonis, because that's one thing that we would throw out last year is, oh, yeah, Sabonis was great this year, and, you know, everybody criticizing him. He only had one hand. Imagine what he would do if he had two hands. And that was when Sabonis' other hand was injured, and now it's not, and we're still saying the same thing. If he had another hand?
I'm going to go a little sidebar here, okay. And then we're going to bring it all back home. Because as a lefty, first of all, I have a question, because I'm watching during the break, there's a video of Angel Reese getting ready for the WNBA draft, and she's shooting threes, and she's left-handed. And am I tripping? And maybe I'm as the elder statesman, the both of you won't be able to help me out here, but doesn't it feel like there are more left-handers in the world than, like, I don't know, 10 years ago? It feels like I see left-handers everywhere now.
I can just speak from personal experience. I think that there was a lot of people that were punished. Yes. Like, you wouldn't be a
left-hander. That was back in the day.
Yeah, but we're talking about frames, right?
And but like I'm talking about from, like, 2000s. It just feels like there are a lot of lefties.
So you were tracking them, right? You were tracking lefties.
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Maybe it's because I'm a lefty, right? When you buy a car, you notice more of those type of cars.
Yes.
Any lefty that's listening, 916-339-1140, am I tripping or are there more lefties just everywhere?
Only from 2000s and beyond, because apparently any data from before then is...
But I know what you're talking about, Simone.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
I think my dad had that issue where it was like, you know, he went to a very strict school where, you know, if children were found out to be left-handed, we're going to make you start writing right-handed.
You know those desks that had, you know, the desks that were built on, there were
one-sided
desks?
Yes.
I always had to reach over.
Yes.
Because there was only maybe one lefty desk, maybe no lefty desk.
I only learned a few years ago about scissors and that there's a whole contingency for left-handed scissors. There's order some left-handed scissors.
There's a left-handed store in San Francisco. Yeah. I've been there plenty of times. Am I tripping? Are there more lefties than prior to 1999?
That's I would say
book it.
Probably not.
I go out to the restaurant. They're taking my order. They're left-handed. I say, oh.
Oh, so you're not even just talking sports. You're just talking
everything.
About out in the wild.
In the wild. Okay. I'm gonna be looking out for it.
I'm gonna look it up.
I'm sure you could
break.
Google it.
No, and I will.
Is that inappropriate? I'm gonna start asking people. Are you left-handed?
You just got to notice it.
I think it's fine.
You just got to notice it. Well, we know Domas at least shoots left-handed. And to bring it back to Steve's question and Sabonis as a scorer, yeah, Chris, I mean, we've had this conversation about the MIDI and things like that. He's got to. He's got to come up with or this summer you have to go get that second option, right? But even so, Chris, you have to be more confident because what's Valanciunas on the Pelicans? No Brandon Ingram last night. Without Brandon Ingram, what was Valanciunas as far as a scoring option? Three?
No, probably like four or five.
So even still, with the escape valve, you have that Mitty, and I know he shot well last night, but I think even if you find somebody, and whether that's Malik Monk in the starting lineup, and you bolster up that bench as well, I do think that Domas, what I'm saying here, Chris, is I've switched sides, and I am now on the side of, as we get closer to the playoffs and things look a little bit different, yeah, he's got to add another layer to the onion as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, he's added the three-point shot these last 2 years. He has never shot this well from three. He shot 37% both this and last year. So he's added that to his game. And, much like Mike Brown says, we're early in the process of this Kings franchise, like, or of this Kings build. Domantas Sabonis is still only 27. So, yeah. I think he's still working on his game. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think, you can only add so many things at a time. And he's clearly prioritized hitting that three at a pretty reasonable level. And I think that's been a major development in his game. You can only work on so many things. If you try and water the entire garden during your summer, yeah, like, you might not really have any substantial improvement. So he's got to kind of fixate on one thing at a time, or maybe two things at a time. And it's clearly been the jump shot that's been the thing that he's focused on, and it's paid off. I don't necessarily think he needs a mid-range jump shot. I think he could definitely improve his overall post game, maybe turnarounds, maybe adding a floater to his game. That's done wonders for Jokic. I don't really think that the mid-range is necessarily something that he has to add to his game. I think he needs to be more versatile offensively, but ultimately I just don't think he's a scorer. I don't think that's what he's called to do. I think it's something he can do, but we've seen it. His bag's not very deep, and ultimately, this is not a center's league anymore either. Mm-hmm. This is a guard forward driven league, and it was always going to be the case that the Kings were going to need another guard or another forward to step up in the scoring department. So I think it's kind of the natural progression of this thing that Sabonis is going to become less and less, I don't want to say important, but I guess I'll just use it for a lack of a better term, less important as a scorer moving forward. I just think it was always going to happen, that was the plan with Keegan.
And maybe I won't obsess over the Mitty specifically, just another layer in some fashion, sure, like you mentioned, would be nice. And this is a perfect world that we're trying to live in. So based on that, we're just saying, hey, the more everyone can do on the team, the better. Right. So if Keegan takes that leap, and I see on the text line, I don't know if we could say exactly what you said on the air, but basically the text line said, if there was a game with beverages, and we talked about every time Keegan, when Keegan takes the leap was mentioned and we were having some beverages, we would be a little bit dizzy off of those beverages. So we see on the text line from the 916. But that's reality. When you're a lottery pick like Keegan, and you do what you did freshman year in the league, rookie year, there are expectations. And that is what I would focus on more. We see another 916. Absolutely, it's supposed to be Keegan for your second score. This year, he's a lot more hesitant with the ball. Passes up, mismatches, not as aggressive with his size. Keegan, you're not Ben Simmons. You're a pure shooter and can ball. That is from GP. So, yeah, if we're doing this in a pie chart and plans for the offseason for the Kings, and which we will do when the season's actually over, Keegan and his offensive skill set is a much bigger slice than Sabonis's offensive skill set. Do not get me wrong at all. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Steven. Our guy Steven wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? You got some lefty talk?
I got some lefty talk. So my mother is a huge, she loves movies and is like loves actors and actresses and stuff like that. She can sit there and call them out left and right. So every time I watch a TV show or a movie or something like that, she's the one pointing out the lefty. Ooh, look, a lefty. Ooh, look, a lefty. Mm-hmm. So lefties are out here, fam. Plus, on a side note, Rafael Nadal is a righty, but was taught to play tennis as a lefty because playing tennis as a lefty is actually it gives you a better advantage over a lot of other tennis players. So, hey, being a lefty, you are the minority there, but you have a lot better advantages as a lefty. So, you know, there you go.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Steven. Have a good weekend, my guy. Chris, I'm seeing some here. Five from the 530, both of my boys are lefties. And from another 530, 100%, I say it all the time, lefties are taking over the world. Try watching TV and see how many actors. Okay. Now, just like what Steven said, Greg with two G's from the YC.
I receive it.
I just don't know if there's any way, like, I don't think the question was, do lefties exist?
No, you were trying to imply that there were more lefties now than ever.
Previously. I'm sure Census has a way of checking that out.
No. Like, people are just saying, yeah, I know a lefty.
Hold on. Because then there's, I'm counting if you do majority things left-handed. The big one for me is writing. Right, and I don't
definitely would turn you into a lefty.
If somebody, because
I think that's actually the only requirement of being a lefty.
If I'm not mistaken, I think LeBron writes lefty. Am I making that up?
Yes, he is a left-handed person.
Well, then what are we talking about?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out.
You've been trying to figure it out since October. 916-339-1140. When we return, starting the Suns preview, keys to the game, and more post-game sound. Sounds and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.